He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar-Hill.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Thursday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where in the last hour or so, it was announced that Jerry Richardson has died at age 86. And leading up to this show, behind the scenes, we've really wrestled with what to say about him. Because you want to respect the dead, especially in the immediacy of it, but it's also been only 5 years or so since that Sports Illustrated bombshell that nuked his Carolina Panthers ownership. You remember that. Blue Jean Fridays, racial allegations. He didn't even fight it. He just walked away. That last home game that Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, I guess the 2017 season. So here's how I'll put it today. There are few sports figures in North Carolina history more important than Jerry Richardson, but also few have more complicated legacies that they leave behind. Nowadays, we really struggle with compartmentalizing the good from the bad. In music, R. Kelly is a terrible person. However, I still bump to Ignition when it comes on. I love I Believe I Can Fly. Does that make me wrong? In movies, Kevin Spacey seems to be human scum. You can say that and believe that while also saying his roles in Seven and Unusual Suspects, they're iconic. You can love those movies. Both movies, I believe we've made WD watch.
I have indeed.
You watched Friday last night. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this hour. B-Dot, sixth man of Carolina basketball, going to be in studio with us, too. The same can be true here for Jerry Richardson. He brought pro football to the state of North Carolina. The Carolina Panthers are the most popular, most important sports team in our state today. Would somebody else have done it if Richardson didn't do it in 1993? A couple of years before the inaugural season? Maybe, but we'll never know that. Before 2017, when Richardson was an owner, he wasn't viewed as a bad owner. He wasn't viewed like Dan Schneider is. He wasn't viewed to be cheap like, you know, the Brown family with the Cincinnati Bengals. No, he was one of the more respected owners. When you looked at the power structure among ownership, it was Robert Kraft, it was Jerry Jones, it was Jerry Richardson. He always protected the shield. When you go back in the history of the NFL, you don't see a lot of people who own teams after they played in the league. George Halas was a coach, and then he was the owner of the Chicago Bears. Then you have Jerry Richardson, who played for the Baltimore Colts and then became an owner in the sport. That's a success story that should be celebrated. We can talk about those things while also acknowledging he's going to be remembered for Blue Jean Fridays and being a bit of a creep. And a bit might be selling it short. Those allegations, they're damning. He never fought against them. When you don't fight against them, you leave it up to everybody else to make up their minds. And when you don't have a rebuttal, it's not wrong for them to assume that everything was written. Everything that was written was true. When you don't fight back on it. When you just decide to leave. Jerry Richardson, dead at 86 today. It's okay to honor him and bring up the bad stuff today. Tell the whole story. We don't seem to do that anymore. On MLK Day, or when anybody brings up Martin Luther King, you never hear about the infidelity. You don't hear about the other parts of his life that made him human, the mistakes that he made in his life. It's always just the good stuff. And we turn him into something he's not. We turn him into this divine figure that didn't have flaws. And I think there are flaws in that logic. Everybody has to co-produce stuff that they're you know, families or that they themselves are involved in. Michael Jordan involved with The Last Dance, making sure the really bad stuff didn't make it into that doc. The Elvis movie came out last year, and you got the Presley family probably making sure, hey, maybe we don't feature so much about the druggy stuff at the end, because we don't want that part of the story told. We really struggle with this. We do. With how to talk about the dead, how to celebrate, and also bring up the lesser aspects of things, the complicated aspects of things. Few sports figures in our state were more important than Jerry Richardson. But it's complicated. Will Dalton, the executive producer of our show, however and wherever you're listening, appreciate that, or watching on WSJS Radio on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Shifting gears to college basketball. In Greensboro, it's round two of the ACC Women's Tournament, and we've got three of our locals on the docket today. How about Megan Jebbia and Wake Forest Hoops staging an incredible comeback against Florida State? They keep their season alive, advance to play Louisville tomorrow, early in the second half. NC State, slight lead over the Syracuse Orange, and Courtney Banghart's 18th-ranked Tar Heels will face Clemson at Six Bells tonight. Meanwhile, on the men's side of things, we should have known yesterday there would be some luck of the Irish type of magic in Mike Bray's final home game. We should have saw that coming. They upset Pitt, whose loss just made Saturday's finale for the ACC a lot more intriguing than it already was, and it was already pretty intriguing. Duke's likely playing for a double bye in Chapel Hill now. So while North Carolina needs to win the game in order to make the NCAA tournament, Duke has scenarios now where they could be the 2 seed, the 3 seed, or the 4 seed. Those are in front of them. Now, some of those scenarios would require Virginia losing to Louisville, which probably isn't going to happen. But then again, we felt the same way yesterday about a team tied for last place facing a team that was in first place. That's in Charlottesville. We like Virginia's chances there. Here's the most likely scenario. If Duke wins Saturday, they need either Clemson or Pitt to lose. They need Clemson to lose at home at Little John Coliseum.
Yeah.
Or they need Pitt to lose at Miami, which is the more likely scenario. So one of those things probably will shake free for Duke. So if you're the Blue Devils, if you win in Chapel Hill, likely your first game is going to be on Thursday with a double bye rather than playing on Wednesday. Pitt and Miami. Speaking of that game, that's now for an ACC championship. So Virginia probably going to beat Louisville in order to have at least a share of the ACC title. But Pitt and Miami, they don't care whether or not you tied when they hang the banners. Like, they are playing for a banner Saturday. You're playing for a chance to say forevermore that you won the ACC in 2023. That's what's on the line on Saturday. I believe regular season championships matter when you talk about 20-game schedules. I do. Some of it might be uneven. Some schedules might be more difficult than others, but it's 20 games in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and even if you're tied for first place, that means something, at least to me. So the winner of that game, first place in the ACC, that's a high-level game being played at Miami. And since Pitt lost against a not-so-good Notre Dame team, that was a quad three loss, you also got to watch out for Pittsburgh on the bubble. How crazy is this? Pitt can still be, with a loss on Saturday against Miami, there is still a scenario. Let's say Clemson also loses to Notre Dame. They can be a double bye team in the ACC tournament and be on the bubble, similar to Clemson. Like, that is still very possible. Or how about this scenario? Pitt loses, Duke loses. Clemson and Pitt would be double byes in the ACC tournament and still might have to do some work in Greensboro in order to get into the field. Think about how maddening that is. You have 4 double bye teams in the tournament, and half of them might still be on the bubble. What were you going to say, WD?
It makes my brain
hurt. Yeah, it does. It does. But that's reality. It feels like Pitt is going to have to win one more game in order to solidify itself, whether that's at Miami or their first ACC tournament game, likely on Thursday, but as we mentioned, still a chance it could be Wednesday as well. That's probably required in order for them to get into the field, as crazy as that might sound. So March Madness, it's only been March for what? 24, about 38, 40 hours, and we already have crazy stuff happening left and right across the country and certainly in the ACC.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
B-Dot, sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, will be in studio with us in just a bit. We've got sound from Armando Bacot and Hubert Davis.
Armando!
Ahead of the Duke game that we'll have him react to. Perhaps we'll do a not verbatim and have him tell us what the players and coaches are really saying when we play him the sound. The big news of the day is that Jerry Richardson passed away at 86 years old. Thomas Davis just checked in. B-Dot walked in and hit me in the throat. This professional over here. Thomas Davis just sent this out on Instagram. I'm literally at a loss of words. For me to try to explain to you guys what this man has meant to me and my family and so many others would take a lifetime. Mr. Richardson taught me so many life lessons over the years, and I will forever be grateful for the friendship and the bond that we had. I'm truly heartbroken and sad over the loss of my friend. I was able to become the player that I became because of him, because he encouraged and motivated me to keep pounding. When I went through my injuries and everyone told him it was time to move on and turn the page, he said no. He believed in me when no one else did. He gave me a chance when no one else would. I know a lot of guys feel they were his favorite player, but we all know it was me, LOL. Please keep the Richardson family in your thoughts today and your prayers today. Rest up, my friend. So that's Jerry Richardson's, one of the best players that Jerry Richardson had for his Carolina Panthers the last couple of decades. Now we transition things to a movie there's no chance Jerry Richardson has ever seen. 1995's Friday.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
So WD, B-Dot, watched Friday for the first time last night. I think we were in agreement a week ago that this was probably on Mount Rushmore, if not the greatest cookout movie ever.
Especially when you're talking about comedies. No doubt about it. Friday is definitely up there. You know, I can't really put together a list right now, but Mount Rushmore, top four for sure.
And even though it came out a decade and a half before social media hit, I don't think there's a movie that's more memed, more quoted than this movie. I said going into you watching it for the first time yesterday that there are going to be many things that you see or hear in this movie that you probably have already seen on Twitter and whatnot and think, oh, that's what this is from. Did you have that experience?
Goodbye, Felicia.
It was fun when I heard Josh close the show last night or yesterday with Bye Felicia. And I was like, that's so awesome. He's going to know what that means.
Yeah.
And it was interesting when I was listening to the other day and you were talking about Hoosiers, and what you didn't like about Hoosiers was it was like every other
exactly basketball.
But then Josh let you know
that set the tone.
That's why it's, and this is sort of like in that same vein, Friday set the tone for so many things that we talk about and laugh about in the urban demographic, and to see it come to life visually is like so applauded by us.
Do you know who Felicia the actress's mom is? Or her son, excuse me.
I'm about to say no.
Listen to this.
Felicia's son is former Miami quarterback Brad Kaya. A few years ago, I remember I learned this when he was a practice squad player for the Panthers. So I walk up to him in the locker room, like, Brad, is it true your mom's Felicia? Yeah. And as how often do people tell you by Felicia?
Oh my gosh.
Like, when people know, It's a daily basis
thing. I bet. And she hates
Imagine if Felicia's your mom.
First of all, her name's not Felicia, and she hates that. Like, she's a, you know, an actress, a real person.
Something I learned today, like, doing a little bit of research about the movie. Felicia, most people are spelling it wrong. It's actually F-E-L-I-S-H-A. It's not the way that, to put it.
Alicia, L-I-C-I-A.
Right, to put it less delicately, it's not the way that white folks generally spell it.
Like, any Felicia, I've never seen black, white,
I've seen,
or
no,
any.
I've seen, I broadcasted games that had Felicia spelled with I-S-H-A, yeah.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Well, there you go.
So I don't think that's sarcastic. So
I just think say it. I don't even know how to spell it sometimes. I just say it. Felicia.
I think a couple people might have learned something from this segment, whether it be about Felicia's son, Brad Kaya, former ACC quarterback, or the spelling of Felicia. What did you like about Friday, WD? Enough about us.
It was very chaotic. It was very chaotic. You know, kind of like Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, it's just constant chaos. Yeah. I really, it's
There's
hard.
No fluff.
There's no fluff.
It's an hour and a half. You just fly right through it.
It's hard to quote this movie without cursing.
Yeah,
so
let's be careful on
so
that.
So many of the things I'd like to say.
Yeah. You just got knocked the fuck out.
That's right. Yeah. The kitchen monologue.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's that actor's name? He plays Leon Lonnie Love in Martin.
John Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
Hilarious.
Rest in
peace. Love him.
Right. This movie, I didn't realize Ice Cube was 24. Chris Tucker was like 22 or 23 when this movie was made, and Ice Cube wrote it.
I was about to say, he was 24 when he wrote it, Josh. Like, taking a break from NWA for a minute. Like, you know what? I'm going to stop talking about F the Police, and I'm going to write this comedy that's going to be like the quintessential standard for all black films moving forward.
And it might be the only movie I can remember that doesn't make the hood a scary place. Hmm. Actually makes the hood a fun place. Yeah. It's not like Boys in the Hood or, you
True.
Know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's not like that at all.
Menace to Society. You don't want to go to any of those.
You
hoods.
Don't. Like, this seems like a hood that you might want to hang out in.
Yeah, until Debo comes riding on that bike. Then you better tuck your chain. No, put your, take it off. Don't tuck your chain. Oh, that's that scene you were talking about? Eating up all the food. I like pig feet.
How come?
I like hog maul.
That's my favorite.
I want you and them chicklins.
How come every time I'm in the kitchen?
You in the kitchen.
You in the kitchen.
I was scarred by them, the idea of putting water and cereal.
Woo.
It just,
woo.
It made my skin crawl. I can't imagine.
Agreed.
Is that a thing?
No.
I've never. Now, like, yeah, like, seriously, you have folks that joke about that, but sharing bath water and eating cereal with the water, I've never, ever witnessed. I've never seen that anywhere. I think that's like one of those urban folklores. I don't know if that really happened.
What didn't you like about Friday?
It's tough not to like something about this movie, but
I've got one thing.
Maybe because it's just so chaotic, it can be hard to keep up with the story a little bit.
Hmm.
The last 30 minutes. I didn't need this to turn into a violent movie. Really, when it started to get to nighttime, I didn't need the violence. I didn't need especially Debo punching women. And I don't think I needed the after-school special feel of John Witherspoon say, "Oh, you gotta be a man to fight somebody. Like you don't need to. It don't make you a man to have a gun." Like, we didn't need the after-school special feel of it. Why did we stop having fun?
Nah, but see, that's the thing though. That's the hood. Like, as much fun as we have in the hood, that fun that you have in the daytime, it always turns into some sort of devastation at night. And that's when Debo attacks at nighttime. And that John Witherspoon conversation has happened way more times than you would think, especially in the urban demographic. Like, in the urban demographic, Josh, in the hood, it's a lot of cats out there shooting and just not fighting. And black fathers really have to help. Like, I'm telling you, and black men in the community, we tell dudes, like, "Yo, put the guns down, yo, fight. Like, you might win, you might lose, but at least you live. You live to see another day." Like, for real, that is real urban dialogue, Jack.
But they did bring it back where at the end, it looks like Smokey learned his lesson. And he's
no,
like,
he didn't.
"I was lying."
No, he didn't. Smokey never learned his lesson. A little joke about that, or a little piece about that. Chris Tucker, right?
Yeah.
Smokey.
Yep.
Huge comedian. Rush Hour, I'm sure you're familiar.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody wanted him to come back and be Smokey, but
can't do it anymore.
After that, he sort of gave his life to Christ and didn't like the imagery that he had put out as him being this big pothead, and that's why he never came back to the Friday series, and that's why they went and got Mike Epps for the next one.
Yeah. I don't even acknowledge the other ones, do you?
Hell yeah. Day-Day is off the chain. Mike Epps is that dude. Okay. What are you, crazy?
How many are there?
Three. And
what's,
they're all great.
What's the best quote that we can say on the radio?
I'm not going to go by Felicia because we already covered that. This is the one I got from Smokey. Weed is from the earth. God put this here for me and you. Take advantage, man. Take advantage.
It's Friday. You ain't got no job. I'm about to get you high.
How'd you get fired on your day off?
Yes.
Or, this is just a line I throw around all the time. You ain't got the lie, Craig.
Yes.
You ain't got the lie.
Smoke, are you taking a...
You ain't got the lie, Craig. All right, Rotten Tomatoes score. Audience score, what'd you think it scored at?
88.
You're doing pretty well lately. 91%.
Really?
If he gets it within five, it's a win.
He's been doing good. I remember last time he did, he was like, I think I'm a little low. He was like 2 points off. My boy WD's rocking out with these.
Oh, man, there's some breaking news.
Is it? What happened?
That according to NFL Live, the Panthers have reached out to Aaron Rodgers.
Hey!
Damn it.
I don't want that.
That's been after the movies.
You are an idiot. You don't want Lamar Jackson. You don't want Aaron Rodgers.
I don't want to give up so much for a quarterback with that much risk attached to it.
Gamble,
that's
bro.
What I want.
It's called gambling, bro.
I know.
And you're gambling with one of the best ever.
I'd gamble on a cheap contract and drafting a rookie over that.
You've done that. You've
no,
done
they
that
haven't.
Time and time again. You haven't gotten a
quarterback
of this
style.
When have
gambled? When have they gambled and drafted a quarterback? When? Cam Newton was the last time, and that worked out pretty well. Last time they drafted a quarterback in the first round.
So you're telling me pass on Aaron Rodgers?
Correct.
You're nuts.
If he was a free agent, I'd feel different.
I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers in the NFC South. Mm-hmm. Stop playing.
B-Dot's here in studio. So we're going to have him translate some sound from Armando Bacot.
Armando!
And Hubert Davis from just the last couple of hours here ahead of the second Duke game. We call it hashtag not verbatim, and that's next on The Drive.
Now comes the moment you have all been waiting for.
All right, whenever you're ready.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
The sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, B-Dot, hanging out in studio with us.
What's happening?
Have you noticed, before we get to not verbatim, how crazy March has already been, and it's only been 24 to 40 hours of March?
What's been crazy? What have I missed?
So last night, five ranked teams lost on March the 1st, including number 9, Texas, Kentucky to Vanderbilt. The first place team in the ACC last night, Pittsburgh losing to the team tied for last place, Notre Dame. Mm. And Alabama was down 17 midway through the second half to Auburn, rallied all the way back, went to overtime, ended up winning it by 5.
Mm.
So those were some pretty crazy games from last night. And then today, checking in on what's happening in Greensboro. After winning in round 1 against Virginia, Wake Forest scored 2 points in the second quarter against FSU. They're playing the number 5 seed. They're down 18 at halftime, 34-16. Wake Forest wins by 11.
What?
They outscored FSU 49-20 in the second half to win 65-54. And right now, NC State's beating the brakes off of Syracuse. They're up 20 with about 2.5 to go. North Carolina and Courtney Banghart's club. They are in action at 6 o'clock facing Clemson.
I can't
number
get
18
there.
Team in the country.
Can't get there fast enough.
You're going to be there tonight?
What? You know doggone well I'm going to be there.
That's what I'm talking
Lit.
About.
Hat on, crown on, teed up, talking
that hat does
big
look
trash.
Good, man.
Yeah, is it?
That's a good looking hat.
Thank you.
Getting to the Tar Heels. Mm-hmm. You're also going to see B-Dot, I'm sure, on Saturday morning when College Game Day is at North Carolina and Duke. Reese Davis will be our guest at about this time on tomorrow's show. Hmm. You'll get reacquainted with your guy, Jay Billis.
Yeah. Hopefully it gives me a good name drop on television. That'd be love. Help my Instagram numbers go up a little bit. You know what I'm saying, WD?
I know what you're saying.
Now let's play Not Verbatim with some North Carolina quotes from earlier today. This is in the last couple of hours from Inside Carolina. This is for sure Leaky Black's last home game. So that's all that Hubert would talk about. He would not pontificate on if it's Caleb or RJ or Armando's final games in Chapel Hill. He wanted to talk about Leaky, and this is what he had to say about Leaky's home finale, his senior night.
Haven't had really time to think about that this is his last home game. I don't want it to end. I think my hope is everybody wants to be around good people. People that encourage you, people that put a smile on your face. In the 5 years that I've been around Leaky, 3 as an assistant and 2 as a head coach, that's what he's done for me.
For people who don't know how this works, you hear a clip and you think you know what Hubert Davis means when he says something, or one of the players, but B-Dot tells you exactly what they mean to say.
Cues boys to men. Although we've come to the end of the road, still I can't. That's what he's saying to him. And we're going to miss you, Leak Dog. Now let's send you off in style with a big dub against Duke and dunking one time, one last time in the Smith Center. Hashtag not verbatim.
How great would that have been if Hubert started doing what
I was
just
thinking
did?
The same thing. I'm like, can he maybe do that Saturday night if they win? Like, you know,
if he just started just give him the mic, B-Dot. Boys to men, that'd be so great. Armando Bacot wanted to go back to the first Duke game and the idea that maybe they weren't as locked in as they should have been after the success they had against the Blue Devils last year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it definitely was somewhat of a hangover kind of from all the stuff that happened last year. But also, too, I think we figured, I guess, with that ranking, like, we was guaranteed to win a lot of games. And I think we figured that out, that that's not how it goes.
Listen, when we got back to Cameron, the chairs were still wet from the water we had splashed around in there last year after we had beat them. We were still riding off that high. We wasn't locked in. But if anybody knows that the end of the season rankings and numbers means nothing, we do. We went from an 8 seed to the ship, baby.
I thought you were going to quote another Boys to Men song.
Hashtag not verbatim. Is that what you wanted?
No, we don't need to do that. Don't need to do that in response to everyone. But going back to that first game, North Carolina only shot 3 free throws. Again, stating facts. Hubert Davis was just stating facts after that game, talking about free throw disparity. Derek Lively was the best player on the floor, and he only had 4 points in the game. You don't see that very often. Talking about 8 block shots in it. So Hubert spoke to trying to neutralize Derek Lively's impact and figure out a way to get to the foul line.
It's a huge part of our offense to, you know, I mean, 100%, we want to attack the basket through post penetration, offensive rebounds. You know, guys like Derek Lively challenge that because not only is he a great shot blocker, he does a terrific job of altering shots, and he does it really well without fouling.
Listen, man, all our guards know, C, RJ, Seth, DeMarco, get in the paint. Aggressive attack every time offensively. That's what we're trying to do. However, that dude Lively, he's a beast. He's an animal. He knows how to block shots, and he does it without touching you. That's very, very important, because touching you, that could get you a charge. Not basketball, like a charge. Hashtag not verbatim.
Had to clarify that.
Yeah.
So that's been not verbatim for this week. How worried are you for North Carolina Saturday?
I don't know, man. I'm sort of starting to sip too much of the winning punch, sip too much of last season's punch, and just understanding that this team is already playing NCAA basketball, tournament basketball, the same way we were doing last year. What I don't like about this game is last year going into the Duke game, the last game of the season, nobody expected anything from us. This year going into this game, it is a big, big game for us. It's senior night. It's ESPN game day going to be there. We need this game in order to continue to boost our chances to get to the tournament.
And that's such a good point that you bring up, because while North Carolina still had so much attached to that game a year ago, they had to win it maybe in order to get into the tournament, there was still no pressure on Carolina because all anybody wanted to talk about was Coach K. The stakes feel similar that they did last year, but now there's not the Coach K piece, and there's this pressure that if you don't win, there's an embarrassment of being preseason number one and potentially not getting into the field.
And who wants to have senior night after an L? And what better win could it be for Duke, who just finished their season 16-0 at the house, than to come in and ruin our senior night the way we ruined senior night for them last year? Like, the tables have turned a lot in similarity to last year, but in differences of the teams, and I don't like it.
Would that be – it won't be the same as the Final Four.
No.
But it would be – it would sting. To take
– it would sting.
To take the NCAA tournament away from Carolina?
Yes.
And send out Leaky and Armando and all those guys that way? It's not the same.
Oh, no, it hurts.
But that's quite a response for John Shire.
Yes, agreed. And what's crazy is I said that I did not want to be in this situation. Like at the beginning of the season.
You said this a month ago.
Yes, I said I didn't want to be in a situation where Duke held our season in their hands, where is they we have to beat Virginia at home and we have to beat Duke at home in order to make it to the tournament. I didn't want – but the thing is, if we do win this game, I really, really like our chances at the tournament.
There you go.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
More reaction continues to pour in on the passing of Jerry Richardson at 86. Steve Smith tweeted this out. You taught me a lot. You will be missed. When I lost my grandfather, you filled that role, and I'm appreciative for that. R.I.P. Big Cat. And it's a few pictures of Jerry Richardson and Steve Smith together. B-Dot is in studio with us. Sixth man of Carolina basketball.
Yeah, man.
Should have voted for you sixth man of the year for ACC Hoops.
Definitely should.
Not really a strong category this year other than Dot.
See?
Ryan Young and Nike Sabandi are probably the top two options, too.
Man, I definitely should have been in the running for sixth man, dog.
Should have voted for that.
That would have been hot. Can you write in votes? If so, you should have done it.
We'll find out.
Oh, we've got grammar school to do that is sponsored by Heritage Hardwood Floors. That's the first time I was able to say that without actually singing it.
Wasn't as
and,
good.
Yeah, you're right. It's not as good. Sponsored by Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Heritage Hardwood Floor.
Yeah.
Again.
Dot's been overworked over the last few weeks.
I'm working on it, guys.
It's March, and there's great basketball being played. Winston-Salem State's floor, done by Heritage Hardwood Floors at the Gaines Center. And
yeah, man.
Cleo Hill Jr. was on with us earlier this week, said it felt like Gaines Center North in Baltimore as WSSU won their second CIAA championship in 3 years. Dot
13th overall.
Dot, you are the mouthpiece here.
Yeah.
Of your alma mater, Winston-Salem State. So how are you following that game prior to North Carolina, Virginia Saturday?
Oh, man, I was very excited. That I had not even thought about Virginia and Carolina because I was so locked in on the CIAA championship. Us getting there as a 5 seed, we were very excited. A lot of fans had traveled up to Baltimore as it has moved from Charlotte. And our chancellor, he will be retiring from Winston-Salem State University in June. So to be able to send our chancellor out with another CIAA championship, like you just said, the second in 3 years, the 13th overall, it was a great day to be around, man. We were very, very excited. And, you know, we painted the city red, and we look forward to getting some back-to-back action next year.
On that note, sponsored by Heritage Hardwood Floors. It is time for grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
Lava, 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 lava.
And just when you think it can't get any worse,
rah, rah, rah.
Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Free game, during game, post game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
Okay, so you know who sponsors this segment. One thing that I didn't deliver on last week was 10 toes down. I didn't deliver on that.
Again?
Oh, I delivered this time.
Oh.
RJ, what's up?
RJ, after all the talk about effort the other night, it seemed like you guys were 10 toes down in terms of the effort here. How would you describe it?
Nah, I mean, I think the effort was there tonight. It was just we were really locked in on defense. I think we got a lot of stops when we needed to, but then also when we was able to get the stops, we was able to execute and get a bucket on the other end, and I think that's what got us going. And we weren't playing the catch-up game this time around. We were able to come out early. Momentum was on our side, and kept it going.
Did I use 10 toes down correctly?
Yeah, you did.
See, you shouldn't have even asked.
His face looked like I said something funny.
Really?
It did. Yeah, that was RJ
Davis.
That's
because he knows. Because he knows
we're, figured it out.
Yeah, he knows we're grooming you here. That was well done, though.
Thank you.
That was very well done. Definitely was 10 toes down. Good job. I don't even have one for this week. I have to think of one.
Okay. Well, we'll come up with that maybe by the end of this. It might even be included in this segment. Who knows?
Who knows?
I got a Caucastic question for you, though.
Let me hear it.
Mike Bray won last night his home finale as the head coach of the Fighting Irish at Notre Dame. When is St. Patrick's Day?
March 17th.
That's correct.
Let's go.
March 17th.
I know that because I have a Hornets game that day against the 76ers.
Oh.
Yes. Slumdog Millionaire, man. I'm telling you, like, you're doing things in life and you don't even know why you have to remember these things. And then you're playing a game of grammar school.
Is that the whitest holiday? St. Patrick's Day?
Or President's Day?
It's up there.
President's Day. President's Day's pretty white.
Proportionally, probably. That's right. That's fantastic. Yeah. I do like the idea of St. Patrick's Day being our Juneteenth. It's like, all right, let's celebrate. Let's get some beer up in here. All right, what do we got?
All right, up first. This is new. I had to run this by Zay. This is a real thing. And I don't know if this is just an urban demographic or is this just jargon that you may need to know. Do you know what air gel is?
Okay. Air gel.
Gel. J-A-I-L. Air gel.
One word.
No, two words.
Okay. Gel. J-E-L is
no,
a
no,
word.
No. Not that word. Not that gel. Prison.
Jail.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what I said. Jail.
Air gel.
Yeah, air gel. That's what I said.
Understood. 336-777-1600. Air.
This is a weird one to me, man. This one.
Jail.
This is one that if you would have asked me, I would have been like, what? I don't know what that is.
Do I have anything I can bribe people with?
No tickets today, do you?
We've got Wake baseball tickets for the weekend. They're ranked fifth in the country.
No tickets, do
you? But what does the middle of that Venn diagram look like?
Yeah, the people that would know what air jail means.
Yeah, understood. I think people can kind of figure that one out at home.
Okay.
But yeah, that's something I do have to bribe people with if you should want to see the fifth ranked team in college baseball.
Yeah.
Air jail is, I'm going to say it's like you're in a room or in a closed space that has somebody who's smoked cigarettes or like in a room that stinks.
That's filled with smoke and stuff.
Yeah, or like just something stinky. Or air jail.
Dirty laundry maybe.
Yeah. That's wrong.
It's wrong as hell. It has nothing to do with any of that.
You could see why my brain went there, though.
I don't.
Air jail?
Like your air
You're
prison.
In jail. You're in a bad situation. It smells bad. Okay, what is it?
It's when you hold an animal up in the air as punishment. That is a real thing. Like,
what?
If you Google air jail, like, there, it is a real thing. Google it,
so
WD.
So Lion King... the beginning of the movie, they're putting Simba in air jail.
Yes.
Okay.
But he isn't being punished, so it isn't really the thing. But yes.
What's the next one?
All right. What's a flick?
I know what my
say
every
it.
Fiber of my being wants
it.
To say.
Say it.
It involves school, movies.
Baby. Yeah, it does. Of what persuasion? Of what caliber, Josh? Right?
Right, it's like a movie that is generally for females,
huh?
Like a chick flick. That's what people say. So yeah, it's a movie, like a romantic movie, a flick.
Is that your final answer?
Sure.
And that is the wrong answer. A flick is a pornographic video.
Well, that's romantic in a sense. What is love, Dot? What is love, Will? You could argue that's the...
You could argue that.
I want to go to the judges on this. I said movie.
You did say movie.
I specifically said love was in this movie.
You did say those things.
I deserve something, the fact that I went to a movie. And I also bet I can find places that call a flick any movie
that involves loving it.
But it is close.
It's so close.
Do I get the final call on this?
I'm going to give you WD, but don't you be influenced because you have to work another hour and a half.
No. I'm not, but that is a form of...
It is a form of love.
Love and video.
He definitely got that part. That's why when he said that, I was like, he knows, he just doesn't want to say the P word. But then when he didn't say the P word, he made it a chick flick. Nah, it's definitely not a chick flick. It's definitely not a love story movie.
I didn't say love story.
What did you say? You said something, though.
Romantic.
Yeah, it's definitely not romantic.
There are romantic ones, so I'll give it to him.
All right, say less. All right.
Ooh, that was close.
But just know.
I still have a shot here. Here we go.
All right. What two liquors make up Incredible Hulk? One is brown and one is blue.
Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Did Mike Bray have one of these last night?
No. Possibly. I mean, who's to say? 336-777-166.
That's what Josh does when he needs your help.
Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk. Which two liquors make up Incredible Hulk? One is blue.
Are they going to have Incredible Hulk at ACC Hospitality next week?
You could get one.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and assume that one of the liquors is that Hen Dog.
You better not be getting answers on Twitter. No. I see your Twitter moving.
I'm not. My feed update.
I don't like
that's
your
not my
feed
mentions.
Update.
Where
are your mentions?
Mentions?
Where are your mentions?
That's
at?
My mentions. This is just my feed.
Your mentions just updated.
Oh, did they? I didn't see anything. Who am I going to on the phones to help me out?
Andy and High Point.
Uh-oh, for the
Andy,
win.
Andy, Incredible Hulk. What are the two liqueurs that make up the Incredible Hulk?
Hennessy and Blue Wave.
Blue Wave, that I wouldn't have guessed that. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for your help, Andy. I figured out the Hen Dog piece of it, but Blue Wave I wasn't going to get, so I'm going to go with that.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect.
No, Andy!
Hypnotic and Hennessy. Hypnotic is the blue liqueur. Hypnotic and Hennessy. Now,
I don't even know what Hypnotic is.
It's a sweet, sweet liquor, but... I mean, there's a rap song. If you type Hypnotic and Hennessy, it will say Incredible Hulk. Hypnotic spelled H-Y-P-N-O-T-I-Q. Hypnotic.
I could see that. I can't see any of these being used in sentences.
Yeah.
After Duke of Carolina.
Nah, you probably can't.
How you guys gonna celebrate? Gonna watch a flick?
Nah, I definitely don't want to watch that with the boys.
How are you gonna celebrate? Some Incredible Hulk?
Possibly. But they probably don't know what Incredible Hulk is.
You don't think Armando?
Armando.
You can ask
on the set of Outer Banks.
Here's your question. You can ask any of them, have they ever heard of Hypnotic? Seeing that you've never heard of Hypnotic, find out if Hypnotic exists. Ask them, have you all ever heard of a liquor called Hypnotic? There you go.
We'll have to figure out what the word is going to be.
Hypnotic.
It's not going to be Hypnotic. Dot? Appreciate you being in here, buddy.
Thanks for having me. You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
During today's Skips or Plays with Hayes Permar, we'll tell you how to win some tickets to some concerts that are coming up. But before we get into that, as Hayes joins us from Sports Channel 8, we learned today that Jerry Richardson died at 86 years old. He was important, one of the most important figures in North Carolina sports history, brought the Carolina Panthers to Charlotte. There wasn't a Carolina Panthers before that. He just brought pro football to Charlotte. So yes, he was important. He also had glaring flaws, obviously, with the Sports Illustrated Report, Blue Jean Fridays, all of that, and that should be noted as well. But even before the SI report, Hayes, I don't recall Panther fans having this, you know, lovey relationship with Richardson or speaking reverently about him. Maybe that's just the owner dynamic in sports. How many fans actually love their owner or speak or think about their owner so often? Usually it's just, hey, look how big his Bojangles Big Gulp is and how he's riding around in his cart and looks like Grumpy Cat or looks like Scrooge. That's usually what the conversation tends to be or tended to be when Richardson was an owner pre-SI report. How has the news hit you today?
It hasn't really. I mean, news of Jerry Richardson doesn't affect me that much. If I'm forced to deep dive into what I think about Jerry Richardson, I got to think Hardee's, man. He brought the California Raisins to North Carolina. Do you even remember Hardee's?
Hardee's?
That's how Jerry Richardson made his money on the Hardee's franchise.
Yeah. Hardee's?
Yes. So that's, do you remember the California Raisins?
I don't remember the California Raisins.
So in the 80s, the before they like fully announced that Hardee's and Carl's Jr. were the same thing, they just basically had the same marketing deals going on different coasts, and that's why somehow the California Raisins became a huge thing, but you'd only get them at Hardee's. Hardee's, before Bojangles were ubiquitous, Hardee's was one of the best fast food breakfasts you could find, too. So I'll always thank Mr. Richardson for that. Now, I think if you want like a think piece on him, I won't be able to offer one up live on the
radio.
That's
not why we come to you. We don't come to you for think pieces. We come to you for California Raisins and also for interesting things that we haven't thought of, such as, you know, some of the funnier pieces of things. You're really good at finding the funny amid the seriousness of talking about people, especially after they pass away.
All right, well, I gave you the California Raisins. Don't take anything that I'm about to say next. Please don't take it as any defense of any behavior, some of it being, you know, somewhat lewd or old man-ish into, like, outright sort of overt race and sexism issues. But you know, like, I think of Jerry Richards, I have no idea if he was a member of Augusta, but he could be, right? He's in that same club of, like, rich Southern men who were I'm sure – thought of as gentlemen for good reason because they were polite and treated most of the people they did business well, and they probably even like gave to great charities and helped people in need. There are probably a lot of people who could say, well, yeah, Jerry Richardson did this and this. Heck, he led that white guy Brent Burson. I mean, he gave him a charity, like let him be an NFL player just because he was his neighbor. So we could see like the man is not like totally a cold-hearted terrible person. I do think, much like you say, he could have been a member of Augusta, probably going back 67 and 80s, probably similar type person. His sins are probably not that much worse than the other people who did that. Now, he kind of had them cast at a bad time when we were sort of dealing with some of that issue. I think in history we'll look back and say, so there are probably people who did a lot worse things than Jerry Richardson, who because they did it 4 years earlier, they got away with a lot.
It's a point that BDOT brought up when he was in here in studio. He's like, man, the things you sound like you're talking about with Jerry Richardson, the way he felt towards women and things like that. How's that different than Jerry Buss to a degree? Where Jerry Buss and Jerry Richardson came from a different time, but our sensibilities have evolved, and Jerry Richardson probably stuck around too long.
And that's also probably where. It's no offense to this isn't necessarily an age thing, but sometimes it's a rich thing when you are so out of touch or when you're not able to keep up with the times, if you're not willing to do the work to know what is the right way to act and run a program, on whatever level you're at, then it is time to move on, whether it's because you're too rich and you don't care enough to do it anymore, or you're too old and you don't want to put in the time to know like what the proper way to run a workplace is. So yeah, in that sense, that was his flaws probably as much as anything. I find it interesting. You know, one of the big things about me is I'm a Camp Seagull guy down in the coast of North Carolina. I know there's some YMCA camps in the Triad area, Camp Haynes, Camp Cheerio, some great camps like that. And I think Jerry Richardson was a Seagull guy. And it makes a lot of sense. Seagull in its own way, I think, has raised a lot of great people. I'm not one of them, but there are many people that I could point to from that camp that have done great things, and they would point to the camp as one of the reasons they did it, including a good friend of mine is an African-American guy who's on Broadway, and he would point to Camp Seagull as one of the places that helped him the most. With Camp Seagull, was run by a guy kind of like Gary Richardson, who had some antiquated views and for a long time didn't even hire black people, right? Like that was before my time. So I don't know. These people have complicated stories. Your friend and mine, David Glenn, used to say, let's tell people's whole body of work, the good and the bad. And Gary Richardson definitely has it. But that doesn't mean that everything he touched has to be evil. I mean, I'm glad that we don't honor him with a statue in front of the Carolina Panthers. But, yeah, we should be thankful that he brought big-time sports to Charlotte and made North Carolina a bigger place and a place to be. So, like, I don't think everything he touched is a terrible thing because he did some terrible things.
Well said. Now let's get to Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things. But he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like 06, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
And Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
I honestly don't know what the theme is. WD says it's linked to giveaways that we might have here. All right, WD, you take the wheel.
So I'm just going to go down the row here song by song and give the context. So we're going to start off with Doobie Brothers because we do have Doobie Brothers tickets on our Twitter. They're going to be in Greensboro White Oak Amphitheater on September 7th. So that's going to be the first song here. So I decided to go Listen to the Music.
That is the first Doobie Brothers song I think of anytime their name comes up.
Really?
Yeah, it's the first one that comes to mind.
I'm thinking, you don't know me, but I know. Like,
that doesn't surprise me. Goes,
this doesn't have enough full Michael McDonald voice for it to be Doobie for me.
Yeah, Michael McDonald going to be in the house in Greensboro, and that's going to be cool. 50th reunion tour.
I'm skipping on this. I got excited when you said Doobie Brothers. I can get down with the Doobies, but I was I don't know exactly what I was looking for, but this was not it. So I'm disappointed, and therefore I'm skipping, even though it's technically a good song.
Yeah, if you're skipping Listen to the Music by Doobie Brothers, I have no idea where we're actually headed to next, but man, Hayes has a high. He's grading with a sharp pencil today. What's the second song that you have? What's the second group?
Okay, so Guns N' Roses, they're coming to Spectrum Center, Charlotte.
Oh, don't do it.
This is going to be August 29th. So we have two pairs of tickets on social for this. One's on our Twitter, one's on our Facebook.
I can already tell you.
Don't do it.
The criteria is the same. I like the band. I'll probably like the song you're playing, but it's just a question of whether or not this is going to be one of the songs that I really like by this band. So even if I skip it, it's not that I don't like the song. It's just not one of the ones that I wanted to hear when I heard this band.
So you can win tickets on Twitter and on Facebook to go see Guns N' Roses.
Just retweet or share the post.
There are three songs that I love by Guns N' Roses. There's one song that if you choose here, I would be against it. And I bet you Permar's on the same page. But let's find out together.
Mr. Brownstone.
What?
Okay.
Hold on, that was not among the ones I was thinking.
Let it play. I was not expecting this, so I got to think on it. And I got
to
say,
I need to hear some of it too, though. Permar, do you know this song?
No, I don't need to hear it. No, I know exactly. Yes, this is off Appetite for Destruction.
Okay.
This is a play. It's a great riff. It's an underrated song. I wasn't expecting it, but she's been dancing with Mr. Brownstone. Well, I forget what. This is a reference to some drug. Maybe heroin, Mr. Brownstone? I think that might be it.
Hey, it's Permar.
Heroin Bear would be a lot worse movie than Cocaine Bear. Heroin Bear.
They were great. I wouldn't say they were great. They were very good for Guns N' Roses. Slash, way closer to peak Slash than Axl is closer to peak Axl. Like, you can look at Axl and be like, all right, this is definitely an aged guy. Most of the time, the notes come out right and the songs still bang, so we're okay. But Slash is still, like, jamming it up, and you're like, all right, I respect that. He's still going pretty strong.
So go to our social media to win tickets to Guns N' Roses and also to the Doobie Brothers. I don't believe we have any other giveaway. So what's the third song? What's the third group?
So, Hayes, I watched the movie Friday last night for the first time.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So I decided, let me pick a song from the soundtrack. So I decided to go.
Good soundtrack.
With Mary Jane.
Do it, baby.
You guys are going to kill me.
This is definitely a play. Great song. This is pretty good. If I recall, this is pretty good soundtrack in general. I Want to Get Next to You by Rose Royce. Underrated song. Great song. But no, this is a good track in general. Keep Your Heads Ringing by Dr. Dre is on this.
Yes.
But no, this is a play. Great tune. Doobie Brothers and Mary Jane. What is it? Is this an April 20th playlist? What's going on here? We're a little early on this. It's just March.
April 20th. What are we?
Hayes Perma.
What's that all about? My dad's the DARE police officer back in the day. So everybody thought I was a narc growing up. Everybody.
Oh, wait, you aren't?
Hayes Perma with us here. That's Vince Gipser Plays.
You're not a narc? Come on. Get
Gipser
out.
Gipser Plays with Hayes. By the way, so we need to figure out what movie we need to make WD watch next week. What is your Mount Rushmore of rewatchable movies? Like, give me just a few movies that, if it's on, Hayes Permar's watching it.
The Fugitive, last night, came on some cable channel.
That's a great one.
And I was on to 2 a.m. Partly because a lot of it's filmed in North Carolina. Harrison Ford at peak Harrison Ford.
I didn't know that. I just assumed it was like West Coast, like Washington State. That's shot a lot in North Carolina. No.
When he goes jumping in the off the falls, that's up in North Carolina. The train wreck is in North Carolina, and you can go, like, the bus and train. That was done on private property, so they didn't even, like, have to clean it up. You can go hiking, like, half a mile off a regular trail and find the wreck from The Fugitive. How awesome is that?
That's incredible. So that's high up on your list. Anything else?
It's comedy-wise, I'd go, like, Mallrats. I don't know if that stands up if you watch it today, if it still feels the same, but that's one that I used to know. Like, it used to be there was a level of Mallrats where I bet you could, like, put it in, let it play. I can't, like, write out the entire script without prompting, but with a video playing in front of me on silence, I can give you almost every word to that, including, like, long monologues about what is and is not part of the food court in the mall.
Excellent work. I think The Fugitive.
The Fugitive.
WD, there's no chance you've seen The Fugitive, right?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Also, did you know this? The Fugitive has sneaky roots in Les Miserables, the novel that.
See, this is my controversial statement that might intrigue WD to watch this movie strongly. We'll go with The Fugitive for now, for next week. That'd be pretty good. I think it's Harrison Ford's best role. I do. I think it's I think it's even better than Indiana Jones. I think it's better than Han Solo.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I don't say that disrespectfully. I say that in respect for Richard Kimball, Dr. Richard Kimball in The Fugitive. So
yeah,
that'll be the movie.
Kind of cool because he kind of plays like, he kind of gets into playing the action role by accident, you know, like he's not meant to play that role like Harrison Ford or Indiana Jones, but he kind of, I guess Indiana Jones kind of does the college professor into adventure thing. So
there's a lot going on. This is great. I think Ross Martin's won our Guns N' Roses tickets. That's great.
Oh,
and Jay Austin is writing it. I didn't have Camp Siegel references on my Thursday bingo card today. I'm a Siegel alumni. Great show today. Okay. It's pretty good that we've checked a lot of boxes with Hayes Permar. Are we going to see you in Greensboro?
We'll see. We'll see. You know, it'd be hard to keep me away.
Wednesday.
So, no plans.
Big
Do
Four
it.
Wednesday. No big Four, Big Wednesday. We'll see if Duke, you know, does the job in order to give us Big Four, Big Wednesday. Because Wake's locked in. State and Carolina are locked in. So Duke has to lose against Carolina or Pitt needs to beat Miami to keep Duke out, regardless of what happens. So we need to have Big Four Big Wednesday. Yeah.
When I came home, there was a man in my house. He had one arm. You find this man. You find him.
All right. See you, Hayes. There he goes. Hayes, you didn't want
to see you next week, Hayes.
Your mic's on.
I know. I'm totally on right now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like, it's Hayes got sick of us. He's like, I'm done. I'm not going to talk to you guys anymore. I'm just going to quote Richard Kimball quotes from Fugitive. That's what I'm going to do.